Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Mike Armstrong podcast show. And this afternoon or morning, stateside, we're joined by the sexy smile queen, which is Linnell Daru, joining us from California. So how are you today, Linnell? You okay?
Yeah, good morning. Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, no problem at all. Thanks for coming and thanks for, you know, making it a first thing of the day task. So, yeah, nice to start the day in a enthusiastic and positive way. Yeah, welcome. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
No problem at all. So so we met on Clubhouse, and obviously that's a place for lots of people to sort of connect and network and grow and that sort of thing. And obviously on Clubhouse, I found out that you are a hygienist and you're obviously helping people with their sexy smiles. So tell us a little bit about that, you know, how you got into being a hygienist and what you're all about, really.
Okay. I started in my dad's dental practice. One day I went to him and I had gotten this bright idea from a girlfriend who said she wanted to work at McDonald's. And I said to my dad, I want to work at McDonald's. Mind you, I was 12. And he says, you want to work? You come work for me. So I was there after school doing simple stuff, emptying the trash, cleaning the sinks, pretty soon graduated to seating patients and taking care of trays. And then when I was 14, they sent me to Loma Linda, it's a university, and I got my x-ray license. And then when I was 16, my mom studied with me with a syllabus that was like 6 or 8 inches high. It was really thick. And I got licensed to be a dental assistant. And so by the time I graduated from high school, I was already had a career. Yeah. So it was just a natural course to go into dental hygiene. And after that, I wanted to go into dentistry, but my dad was like, he didn't want to pay for it, didn't tell me. I would have gotten loans, but I just stuck with, dental hygiene for all this time. Yeah. And I've really enjoyed the teaching aspect of it. I kind of feel like almost anybody can do the cleaning part. But it's really a gift I've come to learn to be able to give information to another person in a way that they get it and then can implement it, and it motivates them instead of, you know, making them feel defeated. So it's a real point of mine to not lecture my patients. I want them to be wanting the information, to be engaged.
Yeah, you know, inspire them to want to make change rather than sort of like lecture them and tell them off the way they are. Yeah, which is the best way, you know, is the best psychology to use to get anyone to do anything. You know, I'm big into psychology, and if you can get people to think it's their idea rather than yours, then that's always the best way. So I call it planting the seed. You give them the seed of the idea and let them germinate it.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't mastered that in hygiene.
No, you just say, "Oh, wouldn't it be fantastic if we all had gleaming teeth?"
Yeah.
isn't it really good to attract the opposite sex if we've really got a sexy smile?
Yes. Yeah. In that respect, yeah. In the marketing aspect, yeah.
Yeah, you plant the seed and then they come there because it's like, oh yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
But so you're an early starter then, like me, really. I started as an entrepreneur at 11. So like I started in employment in sales at 15, as soon as I left school. And I had a, you know, well-established career at 18 by the time I left college. You know, I was already like a manager and stuff. So, you know, we're both sort of advanced for our age, which is probably why I would say we're probably both into teaching now, because I'm only 43. I've been educating and teaching people for quite a long time, most of my life, really, because I started in management at 18. And when you're in sales and sales management, you're often responsible for training your team as well as managing them, you know. So you just, you know, but again, if you're an early starter in life, often you do get to a point in your life where I suppose you know so much about your subject matter because you've been doing it for so long that you are a bit of an expert, and then therefore you lend yourself to that position of teaching others, you know, some of that knowledge and experience that you've gained over all those years.
Exactly. Yeah. And it comes across, you know, people can tell that you know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, my goal is to level up people with, you know, their home care. A lot of people, in fact, 75 to 80% of the population doesn't realize that they have gum disease. It's silent. They don't feel it. You can often smell it. You know, people will brush their teeth, not realizing that that's not helping the root of the problem. And so they may want a sexy smile. They won't want beautiful teeth, but they're going to lose them if they don't do something more advanced, you know? So of course, you know, people go to the dentist, they check that box. But like I said, not everyone is gifted at being able to teach. Or I read a research article that a lot of hygienists, like only 50% of hygienists will even go over home care instructions after the initial visit. And of those, a very few percentage will do it another time. So you don't get the information when you go to the dentist because either they don't have time, most often we don't have time, or they don't feel like it's going to be well received because of the way that they're presenting it, or they don't know how to do it any differently to improve on what the, you know, what they did before. So,
yeah, so they've given the information before, it wasn't taken very well, and rather than adapting the way they give the information, they assume, well, maybe people don't want to know that anyway. So
exactly.
Because that's the thing, like in sales, for example, I've always been very good at sales. At like sales is about solving people's problems and about being able to maximize the opportunity, if you like, because if you build a good rapport with someone, they trust you and they got a lot of problems, you can walk away with a bigger sale, if you like, yeah? Because you're solving a bigger part of their problem, yeah?
Right.
And so, like, I've always been able to, even though 9 out of 10 might say no to something, that 1 out of 10 might say yes, so you have to keep telling the 10 out of 10 so that you get the 1 out of 10. Whereas what some people do is they go, oh, I'm not into, you know, everyone says no, so they just give up on that bit. Yeah, so they don't get the 1 in 10 then, if you like. And that's a bit like I would imagine some hygienists, they're like, oh, well, you know, most people don't like it. So they give up on the ones, the percentage that would like it, if you like, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yes, that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and that's where I suppose, you know, some people are a bit more, maybe thicker skinned, maybe just a bit more experienced, maybe more passionate and enthusiastic about what they're doing. Then they'll take the no's from the people who don't want it, so that they can still find the yeses from the ones that do. And so you would find a similar situation, I suppose.
No.
No?
The reason why I don't have that similar situation and getting, you know, one yes out of 10.
Yeah.
I have only had 2 people refuse my instruction in 37 years. And this is the reason why. I found the magic formula.
Uh-huh.
And that is, I ask the patient, if I find anything that I can help them with, would they like me to let them know? And then I suggest, you know, areas you're missing, because I can see what they can't. And I've only had 2 people say no. Okay, I'm like, saves me time. Okay, if you don't want to know where you have gum disease and where you might be losing teeth, I'll just get on with your cleaning. And
I suppose in your case, though, you're, you know, like in sales, for example, you're speaking to people who may not want your service or your product, whereas in yours, they're there in the dentist, if you like. So at least if you give them a good way of taking the information, then they should be open to that information because they are actually at the dentist anyway. So they are looking for help, I suppose. But I suppose not everyone is always willing to give them that help.
They don't realize they're needing the help. But it's all in the approach, Mike. That's the difference. Yeah. That is the biggest difference, is if you get permission to talk to them, then now you're not lecturing them. You're sharing something with them that they don't know. Yeah. If you just, you know, want to just blah, you know, just tell them, they're like, well, I didn't give you permission. You know, I don't want you lecturing me. Well, in fact, I'm giving them the exact same information that I would have given them without permission. Now they're wanting to hear it instead of, you know, I didn't ask for that. So that way I'm able to proceed and show them things that will help them.
Yeah. And obviously you're helping a lot of people because I guess you see a lot of people as well. And there are obviously always changes to, I suppose, recommendations and tools and all that sort of stuff.
Yes. it really makes an impact. I was really excited this week. I had I'm starting to see patients. I've been at this office about 7 or 8 months. So now I'm seeing people that I saw 6 months ago or a little more. And it's so much easier. They've been following the Smile system for brushing and the GPS for flossing, and they change their products. I find it's either the process or the product. And so often, once I show them the process, then if it's not working, it's the product. So they change that, and it's like, instead of being a 60-minute ordeal, now it's an 11-minute, you know, process, and we're done. And they're like, wow, that's it. That was so easy, and it didn't hurt, and da-da-da. I'm like, yeah, because you're doing the work I showed you. So yeah, it is a lot easier.
So did you do a lot of that work as well in other places? Do you do blogging or videos or social media and all that, and actually help share it to a wider audience than the ones you deal with on a one-on-one basis?
I'm going to start. I've just started making some reels, and I'm going to be working on more of that today. So I haven't begun that process, not yet.
Okay, but it makes a sort of perfect fit, I suppose. You know, you can reach more people again, yeah, and really start to build a recognition, really, for being that one who can educate people. Because like you said, if not everyone is doing it, then you can pick up the slack, if you like, for some of the hygienists maybe who aren't as customer focused and you know, gifted communication wise, you know, then you can pick right. up their slack, if you like, and help more people who maybe aren't getting the message in the right way for them to improve their gums, etc.
Yes, exactly. So I'm putting in the comments in the chat the website with the page. I'm making a special page just for my followers. My website's brushforlife.com/favorites. And that's a page of just the products that I recommend. But, you know, while that's nice, not knowing what they're used for or how to use them is, you know, part of the process of helping people. So I'm going to be doing videos that explain why I recommend this over, you know, why do I recommend this mouthwash? Because people often turn to mouthwash if they want nice, fresh breath. There's two things I found people search for on the internet when it comes to oral care.
Yeah.
Fresh breath is second, but number one is whiter teeth.
Teeth whitening, yeah. I was going to say, there's a big market that exploded about that. And actually, that was one of the questions I was going to ask you, is what your thoughts are on that. Because some of those whitening strips and all that sort of thing, some of them are allowed in some countries and not in others, and I don't know why that is, etc. But what's your thought on that whole process?
It's completely harmless for the enamel. So why it wouldn't be allowed, I'm not sure. The strips that you can put in, you know, they come in varying percentages of how much of the peroxide that's on them. It's a certain type.
Yeah.
And so I am an ambassador for a brand called Burst, and they use 6%, whereas like Crest whitening strips use 3%. So you would have to use the process longer and buy more of them.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's harmless. See, the enamel is, it feels like a nice glassy surface, and it is. But when you eat something that's acidic, like vinegar, of course, is highly acidic, or lemon juice, or dressing with that stuff in it, it will cause micropores to form on the enamel. And then you eat something like balsamic vinegar that's dark, or anything like spinach. I've seen a variety of stains. It will go into those pores and it starts to darken the teeth. So as people age, the teeth get darker. And it's just actually part of the process of aging. But you can arrest that and reverse it. People will realize you've done something different and they can't quite put their finger on it. And it's simply you've lightened your teeth.
Yeah.
So it is simple to do.
I know a lot of smokers use them as well, don't they? Because of the yellow stained teeth.
Who uses them?
A lot of smokers.
Yeah. So that's an external stain. So that will polish off, but aging will cause teeth to darken, and you can lighten them up. You can get them professionally lightened. And at first they will appear very, very white. And that's because as the teeth dry out, you know, having your mouth open for an hour or you're exposed to air for that long, they become very dry. And as they dry, they get lighter. Now, once the saliva from your mouth, you know, is on them again, they will slightly darken, not much, but they won't be as brilliant. And the office will sometimes give you trays that you can follow up with to put gel in. But I did that process once. I couldn't talk. Even talking was so painful for 2 days because it dries out the teeth. And if you have any gum recession where the root is exposed, any dentin exposure, which is under the enamel, if you've brushed through it or, you know, what worn through the tip of the tooth, yeah, it's very painful. So I like either the strips or the at home, the trays that you can get custom made for your teeth. That I like because you can boost the process twice a year. As your teeth start to darken again, you can just put your tray in yourself and do it at home. You don't have to pay for the process all over again. Yeah. So that's why I like the at-home trays or the strips. If your teeth are crowded, the strips aren't going to work very well because they need to lay against the surface of the enamel. If your teeth are straight, strips are a good option.
Yeah, fair enough. And regarding the gum side of things, then you said there's a lot of people out there who aren't aware of their gum problems, if you like. What are the main causes of the reason, I guess it's not brushing the teeth properly or not flossing or whatever, but to you, what are the main causes for people basically having the gum disease and not being aware of it? And then what are the quick fixes, if you like, for people who are maybe listening on the podcast or watching the YouTube channel?
Great question. So for those who are listening, I'm going to do an audio version of what I'm going to demonstrate visually with my sleeve. I'm wearing a long sleeve shirt. And a lot of people don't realize that I need to cover just a moment of anatomy in order for you to grasp what it is, why they have a problem that they don't realize. Logically, people think the gums come up to the tooth and just attach, when in reality, the gums will come up to the tooth, dip down, and then attach, forming like a turtleneck collar or a sleeve around the tooth. That's about 1 to 3 millimeters high, one on the face of the tooth, and in between the teeth, it comes to a little point, and that's about 3 millimeters in a healthy situation. If the brushing, if you're pointing the toothbrush straight at the tooth, like you see these TV commercials,
scrub, up and down,
side to side, up to down, whatever, they're pointing 90 degrees at the tooth. Yeah. And so the bristles will not get in between the gum and the
gap.
That
you can't get into the gap.
They won't get in that turtleneck. You have to angle the brush 45 degrees downward for the downstairs teeth and up for the upstairs. And then the most common mistake I see people make, I've already alluded to, is they actually brush the teeth. You don't want to brush the teeth. The term brushing is a misnomer. It means it's been misnamed. You want to place the bristles on two teeth at a time, like you've got two hands, and just wiggle back and forth on those two teeth for 5 to 10 seconds. 5 is sufficient. And just pivot on the bristle tips. Don't actually brush, just place and pivot. And that's the most common mistake people make, is they ski across the turtleneck on the outside and they don't get the bristles down inside and actually agitate the bacterial colonies, tearing them up, and they'll float away.
So what would that be called? What would that be called as a movement? Because it'd be quite good, I suppose, to start a campaign to change brushing your teeth to whatever that would be called as a movement, your teeth, like, you know?
Place and pivot.
So like pivot your teeth, yeah, or like a bit like a car wash, you know, where they say you like wash around you or something, like, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't know what that movement would be called, but it's a bit.
Another word you could use is just massage. You just put the
massage your teeth and your gums, like, you know, with the brush.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that would help, I suppose, because, you know, the fact is called brushing the teeth, and the brushing motion to most people is sort of like an up and down motion, you know, or a side to side motion, etc.
Yeah, they scrub a whole row of teeth at one time, and that's not going to help them in the long run.
That's sort of like just keep cleaning the teeth, really, isn't it? It's like cleaning the teeth, but it's not brushing, or it's not cleaning the gums. Yeah,
I have a website, Brush for Life.
Yeah.
And on the tab, Smile System for Brushing, S-M-I-L-E, I have like a 2-minute video for the S, for the M, for the I, the L, the E, and it gives diagrams that I've painted, and it's very, very educational. And I found just having people look at those will really help improve, you know, what they're doing. So if they don't get it because they're on the podcast, they can go home and look at brushforlife.com and see the videos. So it's a visual, you know, description.
Yeah. And so, you know, like when they say you should brush in the morning and then in the evening, and for however, you know, is it 3 minutes, as I think it is, isn't it? Is it something like 3 minutes recommended? So then you should really, really pivot, if you like, the brush on your teeth for, say, 30 seconds each pair of teeth. So then as you go along the teeth, that would be your 3 minutes then, if you've spent time on each one.
Yeah, it would be like 5 to 10 seconds on each two teeth on the outside and 5 on the inside, two teeth at a time. So it would be, I don't know that I, it depends on how many teeth a person has as to how long they brush.
So it depends. So it's literally just 10 seconds either front and back. So 20 seconds per pair of teeth. It's going to take you roughly about 3 minutes, I would have thought, and it depends on how many teeth you got.
Yeah, roughly about 3 minutes, maybe a little more. So, you know, a lot of people use an electric brush. I wanted to talk about that for a second. There's a very common electric brush in the United States. I have the brush head somewhere here.
Because that one just does one tooth at a time, I suppose, doesn't it?
No, it does two.
Does it?
Yeah. The thing is, I don't have the head here. The thing is that the kind of brush that has the round head, made by Oral-B, I don't know, there might be other companies. I find that round head cannot be angled 45 degrees and get inside the turtleneck. I find a lot of gum disease with the round head.
Okay.
And I really, I tell patients, as soon as I look in their mouth, I can guess.
You can tell if they got the round head or not.
You're using a round head brush, aren't you? You know why? They have gum disease. That's why.
Yeah.
And I'm right, like 99% of the time, they're like, how did you know? Well, because you've got plaque all in between your teeth and all along the gum line, because that round head, although it's designed, I know the commercials make it look like it does this great car wash action. Yeah, it doesn't. It's too big. That's why. It's designed to imitate the little polishing cup that we polish after, you know, with your teeth. But it's like two or three times as wide. It's two or three times as big across.
Yeah.
And so the one that we use is real small because it will adapt to one tooth at a time. But the head is too big. You want a brush that has rows of bristles. That's why I like the Burst. Or if you use the Sonicare, that's what this handle is. The head has rows of bristles. And you can angle that 45 degrees. I don't know where my head is. And the bristles you can get them all into the turtleneck by angling it. The round head doesn't do that.
No. You know, like as well, when you do have gum disease, I have had it before in the past where they give you those little tools and they got the little brushes on and you get in your teeth for that. They're really good. Why aren't they recommended to be used more regularly?
If people's teeth are nice and tight together and the gums are up high where they started out at, you can't get it between the teeth. That's why. Once you've got some bone disease and gum disease, the gums recede and it will expose that little triangular space between two teeth. Now, when you use the little Christmas tree, if that's what you're talking about, I suggest to patients, push it into your tube of toothpaste and get some grit on it and then go in between the teeth, not just from the outside where the cheek is, but from the tongue side, go from the inside and pump it in and out two or three times.
Yeah, but if a lot of people have got gum disease, I was just thinking, wouldn't it be good, because I've never seen this, but I think it'd be a good tool. You know, why don't anyone sell a pack of dental care, you know, like a toothbrush with the right head and the floss and those little Christmas trees? And I've never seen that. I don't know if they do that or not, but I've never seen them.
Yeah, I'm working on that.
You're working on that, are you? There we are then. I'm somebody who spots caps in markets and stuff, and I just... You know, for me, that would make sense, like, you know, to have a bit of a kit, you know, for like, if you don't need gum disease, if you do, you know, blah, 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 maybe a monthly subscription where, you know, just comes in the post, you know, blah,
there
blah,
is
blah.
There is a company that's doing that. You can go to brushforlife.com/toothbrushes. I think it's plural. And scroll down the page and you'll see a black toothbrush. You can click on that and you can get an electric brush for $40. It'll automatically cookie your device with a code and give you a 40% discount. And then they auto ship you a new head every 3 months.
Yeah.
The same company will also ship you floss. And this is the floss I recommend because I'm I love this floss. most flosses, which let me pause on this for a second. They'll ship you a new spool every 3 months. It's a big spool and it has a little bitty hole in the middle. So there's a lot of floss on it, a 3 month supply. So they will auto ship you the floss. You don't have to go look for it. The reason I like this floss is because most of the floss on the market is made of Teflon. People like it because it easily slides through between the teeth. The problem is it doesn't work. And here's why. Teflon is what they will use to line those nonstick frying pans.
Pans, yeah, that's the only reason. That's the only way I'd heard of it. I didn't know the floss was made of Teflon, but I know the pans are.
And so the reason those pans sell and the selling factor of it is that nothing sticks to it. So if you use floss made of Teflon,
nothing sticks to it. So the plaque's not sticking to it. It's just abrasing over it or something rather than
it
burning
does.
It off.
It actually burnishes it onto the tooth. I spent over an hour on a patient who had tartar plaque that had been polished onto her teeth with this floss to get it off. She was tender and sensitive. And I just saw her Tuesday last week after 6 months and she'd been using the burst floss. Her cleaning, I timed it. I said, this is amazing. Your teeth are so clean. This is amazing. I timed it 11 minutes from start to finish till I dismissed her out of the chair. It was so quick and easy. I loved it. Just changing the product.
Yeah.
So the reason why this floss is great is because it will fluff up. It's called woven floss. And it's not heavily coated with wax. It has a little bit of a coating just to keep it, you know, compact when it's wound around the spool. But I tear off my arm's length of floss and I run it under a moment of hot water and it gets that little bit of wax off of it. And then I go between your teeth and it will fan out and really hug the tooth and tear up the bacterial colonies really well and make them squeaky clean. So that's the floss that I suggest. Now, all those little picks that people like to use, little floss harps, it's like a C shape with a toothpick handle.
Yeah.
That's a cool design. However, all the ones that I have seen are made with Teflon.
Okay.
The reason that the stores carry them is because it sells well.
Yeah.
If it doesn't sell, they're not going to carry it. No. There is a company that makes the little, it's like a little Y-shaped thing and it floss pick with a toothpick handle. It's a Y shape instead of a C shape. And it's made by Gum Company, G-U-M. You can get those through the mail. And if you buy like 4 or 5 packages at a time, it evens out with Amazon. You can get it, you know, same price. And that floss has the fibers to it. If it hasn't any fibers and it doesn't shred or break, that's not the kind you want. I save the Teflon floss for when I get it caught between my teeth. I just dislodge it with that and then go back to using what works.
Yeah, are you looking to create your own branded products? Because I was thinking with you, you wouldn't even necessarily have to create your own branded products. If you could get a wholesale deal with some of your favorite products, you could sell, you could provide a video, either a link to a YouTube or a disc, or a hard drive with the video in, with instructions. And then your once a quarter pack with your recommended products in, if you like, and it could be a gift pack for Christmas or whatever, or it could be a subscription service. I think with your advice and your knowledge and then your preferred products in the section, I think that would work well as a good product, like, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've talked to dental stores where I have my things, most of them hosted. They don't carry the burst because that's a whole different company you have to subscribe to through them. Floss and the toothbrush, the electric one, but the manual toothbrush and the toothpaste that I recommend and the mouthwash, that can be done on a subscription basis. They have it set up that way. As far as in a pack, I think I have to get a little traction and they would probably be willing to do that and send it out because I didn't notice that they do have subscriptions set up. I didn't realize that until more recently.
Yeah, I guess a lot of people have gone to subscriptions since the lockdown, like, you know what I mean? Because of shopping and stuff and more online and all of that. Because obviously, you know, I'm aware of that model with regards to shavers, for example. You know, there's a few companies now who've gone into the whole shaving pack, and they give you all new razors and, you know, new blades and whatever, and new creams and waxes and all of that. They'll give it to you every sort of 3 months and stuff. So that's why I think, that's why I'm surprised I haven't seen, you know, I see the shavers on the telly and online and stuff, but I haven't really seen anyone doing it with teeth. And teeth is... you know, it's a good market, isn't it? You know, there's a lot of people, yes. You know, a lot of consumers and needing to replace stuff. So I bought the domain for it.
Yeah, I bought a domain for it. So it's been on my schedule of plans of things to do for a few years.
Yeah, well, so something else, which I don't know if you do. Do you do rooms on Clubhouse?
I do. I'm going to start one called Sexy Smile.
Yeah.
Right now I just have one for hygienists and as soon as I get my, you know, someplace for people to go, once they're, you know, on the call, then I'll start the one for the general public.
Yeah. Have you bought a Sexy Smile domain?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Is that, have you bought the sexysmile.com or sexysmile.club or both?
.com. I didn't get club.
You should look at the dot club one, because you could use the club one. You could put your website and your details on sexysmile.com, but you could use the dot club one for your Sexy Smile Clubhouse room. And also it could actually work for a membership club as well. So sexysmile.club would work really, really well for Clubhouse and for a membership subscription thing.
Very good idea. Oh, you're full of good ideas.
I'm a sales and marketer, so you know, it's my job. just like you've been doing hygienist work for, you know, since you were a kid. I've been doing sales. I was an entrepreneur at 11. I started in sales at 15. And there's not much about sales and marketing I haven't learned along the way. Been 32 years and going, like, you know.
There you go.
It's a long time. You pick up some stuff.
You're absolutely.
And those dot clubs are cheap at the moment, but they reckon once it keeps growing, the clubhouse is going to go up, like, you know.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I'll get that today.
I bought clubhousewebsites.com, and I'm going to put all of the clubhouse websites of all the people who buy the dot clubs. I'm going to put them into a directory on my clubhousewebsites.com site. So then cool. I can advertise all the other businesses. That's so a lot of people are sort of like looking at how they can leverage, you know, Clubhouse and its popularity. And definitely a lot of people are buying the dot club domains and sticking their details. In fact, I signed up one. You want to look at this one. It's called yoyo.club. I don't know what the yo-yo stands for. But they put a directory on there of Clubhouse rooms and moderators.
Oh, wow.
So that's a
great idea.
Yeah. So basically you go on there and you fill in your clubhouse details and your room details, and you put a link into your room, which I think is a bit of a flaw in a system, because the link changes every time you set up a new room. But anyway, you put your link into your room. With mine, at least my rooms last for 4 or 5 days, 6 days sometimes before they shut down. So, you know, my link lasts a bit longer, but you can add, I think somehow it tracks you. Once you've given your link, your clubhouse name, it tracks what rooms you're associating with. So like as you add more rooms, it'll add it to the listing. And obviously over time then they're going to be, when people search, Google search like clubhouse moderator Linnell DeRue, it'll come up with all of your events and stuff. So it's going to be like a great way of finding out what's going on Clubhouse. And my guess is there'll be lots of these type of add-ons to Clubhouse, but definitely worthwhile considering while everything's sort of fairly new.
Yeah. Interesting. So I'm trying to put it in my cart.
Because the dot club is sort of like fairly new to being popular, and it's probably fairly new as a domain as well, you know, unlike with dot coms where you go in and you try and get your name but it's all gone and you can be searching forever to try and find a dot com that's related, you know, with the dot clubs, they're all sort of there to be taken at the moment, but at some point they'll hit saturation and all the popular names will be gone again, like, you know, that's how these domains work. You've got to be in there early. No one else is there or thinking of your name.
Right. I'm trying to put it in the cart and it won't go.
Oh, well, you'll have to try it on your phone, or if you're trying on online, maybe try it on your phone, or try it when we finish the Zoom call. But so we've covered quite a lot about you know, what you do and how you're doing it and all the rest of that. Is there anything we've missed or anything that you, you'd like to add to what we've spoken about so far?
I don't know, other than just they really will find a lot more information on the FAQ page of my website, because there's so much that we don't talk about in the dental practice. When you come in for your appointment, some offices, your appointment's an hour, that's a luxury. But most of the time it's 30 to 40 minutes, and there's absolutely not enough time to share what you do need to know. A lot of people think, well, I'll brush my teeth and then swish with mouthwash and and floss once in a while, and that's sufficient. The bacteria will only be killed in the top layer if you're brushing, if you're swishing with mouthwash. And under that, it's still alive and multiplying. The bacteria divide every 10 to 20 minutes. They split and become two. So in 24 hours, one cell becomes 5,000 billion cells. That's five quintillion. One cell. And then you've got a whole mass of them, and they're all multiplying. And so it's exponential growth under the gums and between the teeth. So is it important to floss? Yes, that's the reason why. About 40% of the tooth surface isn't reached by your toothbrush. So that's why flossing is really important. With the right floss, you don't want to use Teflon. So if you want fresh breath and a sexy smile, you don't want to smile and have your gums spontaneously bleeding. You need to have nice, healthy pink gums. And to do that, you need to use the right tools. Some people
besides flossing, which does take quite a lot of time, which is why I guess a lot of people don't do it, is there anything else people can do to help get to that 40%? I suppose that's why people like mouthwashes and stuff, because they think, well, I'll do the same job. But is there something else besides flossing, or is it that's the only way you will reach that level?
I had a patient who had a cerebral palsy, and he couldn't floss because it just was physically impossible for him. So I suggested something that my dad, who was a dentist, had been recommending to patients, which is called a hydrofloss. And it looks like a water pick. Please do not think that any irrigator is going to work for you. It's not. The hydrofloss has a magnet in the handle, and it changes the polarity of the water. And it goes from regular water to water that comes out with a lot of free ions and free the water polarity has been changed, and it will disrupt the bond of the plaque to the tooth. The tooth is a positive charge, the plaque is negative, and that like a magnet, they stick to each other. And this water will interrupt that stick and make it float away. The research they've done shows a 64% reduction in plaque and tartar accumulation with the hydrofloss. With this guy that had cerebral palsy, his lower front teeth did not stand straight up like yours and mine. They were slanted towards his tongue about 45 degrees. I couldn't get back there and get the tartar off. I did okay, but not very well. And I couldn't polish at all. So he got the thing, and by George, it made the tartar fall off his teeth. I could not believe it. Couldn't believe it. And so I've really seen it work phenomenally. And for a sexy smile, the other thing that happened, I had a patient who got it for gum disease. But she had on her front teeth, left to right, all across the front, on the top, plastic fillings on the face of her teeth because of damage from, you know, other causes. She had been wearing lipstick over the years that had accumulated over time around the edges of all of these plastic fillings. And so in cleaning her teeth, I couldn't get that pink stain out from under the edge. So I just had to let her go, but I suggested hydrofloss for gum disease. She came back, her teeth were actually whiter. I've never seen that happen before. And all the stain was gone around the fillings. So it works for multiple reasons. Gum disease, tartar reduction, makes your cleanings easier and faster, and it will evidently make it whiter. They don't claim that, but that's what I saw firsthand.
And what's that called again?
Hydrofloss. So you can go to my website, brushforlife.com/irrigator.
Okay. Is that a new product? Is that a new product? I've heard of that one.
No, it's been around for at least 36 years. I've been out for 37 years. So it's been around more than 37 years.
Okay.
Hydrofloss. Hydrofloss If you go to favorites and scroll down to the very bottom, brushforlife.com/favorites, plural.
Okay, brilliant. So lots of useful information and tips on here. And you said, obviously, you've got a frequently asked questions bit on your website, which obviously is good. That's always a good page to get a lot of traffic to your website, that, especially when you're, if you're going to start selling product and subscriptions and stuff. Frequently asked questions is something really underused by a lot of businesses. And the more questions you can put in your frequently asked questions, covering all angles of everything someone can ask you and not just the basics, the better, you know, your traffic will work from a search engine point of view.
Right. And what I'm working on right now is to do a video answer for each of the FAQ and to enlarge it some, because some people don't want to read. And so I'll just have a pop-up with a video and it will give answer the same thing that's there and maybe some more information too, additional.
Yeah, but you could also, I'm just going to sneeze, I think. No, I'm okay. You could also have a YouTube channel, put your videos on there and then put a link in at the bottom of each answer and says, you know, if you want more information or you'd rather just go straight to a video of this rather than read the answer, click here. And you could sort of like, you could direct people to your YouTube channel, but at the same time, those videos would also work to people who were asking the frequently asked questions on YouTube and not on your website or not into Google. So they would serve two purposes.
That's very cool. That's a great idea. Yeah, I wrote that down.
Yeah.
What was it you said about Google?
So, well, like if somebody types into Google, like frequently asked questions, if you've got a really good high-ranked frequently asked questions page, because a lot of people like ask Google, you know, they'll ask Google, they'll ask Jeeves, you know, can you recommend, you know, a way of getting rid of my plaque if I can't floss, for example? They might write something like that. Yeah. Now, if you've got a frequently asked questions where you've got that as a question and then you've got an answer, then Google will find your frequently asked questions page when somebody asks that question. Yeah. So that's why I say have as many questions on there as possible, phrased in as many different ways as people can ask the same question, because Google is going to find the question that's most relevant to the person asking it. So sometimes, for example, you know, you might have, can you give me a recommendation for a good hydro floss product? But actually they're asking, how could you recommend a product for me if I don't want to floss or something? You know what I mean? So you might have one frequently asked question which you think covers the angle, but somebody else might ask it three different angles, three different ways of asking the same things. Yeah. This is why I say put all of the frequently asked questions on your page. And then what you could do is give answers, or you could even give, like when people click on the page, there is a landing page answer to the page, which means then that page becomes a really well optimized page for the problem. Yeah. So you have the questions on one page and then you have the answers on dedicated pages. So when people are searching by the answer, the question, they'll get the frequently asked questions page and then the answer. But some people might just be searching for the answer. So the answer might be use a hydro floss. Yeah. Whereas somebody might just be searching for a hydro, what are they called? Hydro?
They'll call it an irrigator, water irrigator. That's what they'll do a search for, like which one is best. And, you know, that name Hydrofloss isn't going to come up.
So it's an irrigator, So someone might be searching for an irrigator and your answer page to the frequently asked questions page will come up for the question, will come up for the long tail search question. And the page, the answer page will come up when somebody's actually specifically searching for that product or that solution, like, you know. So this is how to maximize your search engine attractiveness, if you like, or capability, is by thinking about the different customers and what they're typed in, and then being the right solutions to what they're looking for. So sometimes the product is the right solution, sometimes it's a service, sometimes it's the question and the answer, sometimes it's a video, sometimes it's a business, you know, like a dental practice or a hygienist. Yeah, because sometimes people are looking for the business, sometimes they're looking for the product or the service, other times they're looking for the solution to a problem. So most businesses only ever advertise themselves as, you know, generally one of those things. They'll advertise themselves as the business, or they'll advertise themselves as the products and services, Or they might advertise themselves as a frequently asked questions as a solutions business, but quite often they're not advertising themselves as all of those things. So they're only getting a percentage of the search traffic. And the ones who do really well are the ones who notice this and identify that and get all of the search traffic.
I see. I see. Great idea. I'm going to rewatch the video.
No problem. But you know, part of my because this is a one-to-one Zoom call, it's a networking follow-up when I get to meet people. It's a podcast episode. It's a YouTube channel episode, and it's content for my social media. So I'm into efficiency, Lucy. So at the same time as I'm getting to build a podcast episode, I'm also asking questions to see how I can help people, because I love helping people, especially in the area of sales and marketing. Having done it for 32 years, I'm like, well, why learn all of that stuff that I've learned over all that time and not give it to people, like, you know, not help them in some way? Right. So that's the sort of point. So at the same time I'm recording an episode, I'm helping people as well. And then when that goes out to my audience, you're helping people, I'm helping people, we're both helping more people who are listening. So that's sort of my strategy, really.
Everybody, you know, rising tide lifts all ships.
So exactly. That's one of my favorite quotes, that is, like, you know, so yeah, you know, we all grow together, you know, why not? And so there's people listening, you know, to this episode once I record it on the podcast and watching on the YouTube. There'll be people learning stuff about their gum disease and around their teeth they've never learned before. And there'll be lots of people as well learning about some sales and marketing tips and advice. So, you know, win-win. If you happen to be an entrepreneur with bad teeth, you know, we've hit the market twice.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
We can improve their teeth and their business at the same time. So happy days.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so that's what I'm all about. So, oh God, haven't the time flown by as well? I didn't realize how quick it's been. So that's the thing. Time flies when you're having fun. So, and a lot of people think going to the dentist can be a bit daunting. Well, you know, we've had a great time today. So, you know.
Absolutely. And when you use the right product and the right process, then it's not daunting. It's super fast and an experience that's enjoyable, in fact.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So, thanks very much for coming on the podcast and for sharing your knowledge and experience with us and my audience. And look forward to the next time I get to see you on Clubhouse or anywhere else.
Thank you, Mike. It's been a pleasure. I appreciate it very much.
Brilliant. Okay, then. You have a nice day and enjoy the California sunshine.
Will do. Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Bye.